Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. Hello, and welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is Todd Perry, and we have a very exciting podcast lined up today. We're going to talk about soil and groundwater assessments, and we've got one of our super experts, Mr. Michael Ellison, out of our Birmingham, Alabama office. Michael runs our Birmingham, Alabama office, and he has been in the environmental profession. He was a very young man, but I think he's closing on 3 decades now. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm well, Todd. Appreciate the intro and hope you're doing good also.
All is good, man. We're here we are in September, and not sure when you'll hear this podcast, but the weather's starting to break a little bit and football's in the air. Does Alabama pay much attention to football?
You know, it's kind of spotty. We're more into arts and crafts, things of that nature, very cultured environment here.
I think Alabama's unique because there's no professional sports team in regards to football, baseball, or basketball. And so the two major universities, University of Alabama and Auburn, is a full-time debate come football season, isn't it?
That's right. We're latched onto it pretty good, and most folks are entrenched on one side or the other.
No doubt about it. Well, Mike, we've got a great topic, one that you have certainly been involved in your whole career. And it's soil and groundwater assessments. You know, it's a very important tool, and there's so many different ways you can work your way into the tool, but maybe we'll just start with some basics and think through. A lot of times, the assessments are born out of some type of property transaction. Is that a fair statement to say?
Yeah, we do a fair amount of that. I've done a good bit of that over my career, but, you know, typically in a commercial real estate transaction or government acquisition of properties through right-of-way acquisition, things like that. There's an effort to determine if there's potential contamination on that property. A lot of times there's not, but depending on the prior history of the location, the new owner will, you know, want to have a very good idea. Is there potential contamination? And I'm going to refer to it as impact. It's a quicker word to say, but is there some type of environmental impact on this property that we need to be aware of? And then, you know, your other primary method of that is where you have facilities that use, store various types of chemicals, products, whether it's petroleum, benzene, chlorinated solvents, things of that nature, where they're regulated under specific programs in the various states that they're in. And they have a suspected or a known release. So that's kind of the two primary areas that we're going to be looking at as far as, you know, basic level discussion of soil and groundwater assessments.
And if I could maybe pitch in a third area too, sometimes leasors will have an assessment done to set a baseline for when a new tenant comes in, just to make sure there isn't some type of, you know, event that happens during the lessee's time on the site. So there's another, you know, there's all types of drivers, but I think you hit on the two main ones, and I just kind of throw that in as a third one. You think that's a fair way to say it?
Yeah, it's 100% accurate. And an easy example of that most people could relate to is if you have somebody that's going to come in and operate a retail petroleum facility, you know, it's got a clean bill of health. The day before I go in there, well, I want to show if I own that property that you didn't have any type of spills or releases that caused a problem. So it protects both sides. Like you said, you establish that baseline. These are the conditions at the beginning of the lease. And typically on the back end, you're going to do that again just to make sure everything was in good shape.
That's right. And so we talked about how you would, you know, think through or moving into a soil or groundwater assessment. And let's just say, God forbid, your operating facility and there's some type of, you know, chemical that enters the subsurface, you have a release and you know there's a subsurface impact. How do you begin to go about planning how you'll conduct your assessment work?
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's fairly similar either way that we're going on here. You know, we want to know what the end objective is. So what is the objective for our client? Well, we'll have a good discussion. Well, maybe it's just I want a clean bill of health. Let's look at that. So we're going to try to get as much information as we can about the history of that property. So if it's, let's just say it's a real estate transaction and we're following up a phase one environmental site assessment into a phase two. So we have a pretty good feel of what happened here. You know, where did they store these chemicals? If there's no known release, a lot of times if there has been a release, well, then that's easy. You know where to start. If it's one of these facilities that have had an issue, and we're not talking about the real estate transaction here, but they're under some type of state, federal, or even local program, well, there's specific guidelines to do. But really, we want to know the site history. What kind of products were stored and used there? If there's a known release, well, what was this? Do you know the quantity? So basically, we're playing detective a little bit, and we want to go to the crime scene, per se, see where that happened. Most likely points of release if it's not known. And then, you know, a lot of us got some gray hair, so we want to know what kind of geology we're working in. You know, some of us have less gray hair than others, but I see what you're saying. You know, what kind of soils are we going to encounter? Do we know the depth of groundwater? You know, and then we have to be very clear on what the regulatory requirements are, too. And if I'll sidebar just a little bit. A lot of times when we go to a commercial real estate transaction and we think that there may be something there, we're going to advise our clients, whoever we're working for, the owner or the buyer, that if we find something and it's a certain level of impact, this is going to have to be reported. Right. So we always want that up front. There are certain stipulations, depending on how the facility is regulated, that, you know, we don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but somebody's got to report this to the state. So that way everybody knows up front that, OK, this may lead to some other work that is going to be dictated by somebody else.
Now, Michael, in the field, as you're playing your assessment work, and I think you're certainly painting a very good picture. Would a direct push or a Holston auger, are those two of the more common assessment tools you'll see utilized to go out and collect soil and groundwater in sites?
Yeah, and that's going to vary too. You know, you could have a facility where we have a broad group of professionals that have worked all throughout the Southeast up into the Northeast. So usually we have a fairly good idea of what we're going to encounter, you know, from a geologic standpoint, depth of water and things like that. So if you've got a situation where the groundwater table is shallow, we want to get into that. That may just be as simple as a hand auger. You know, you go through your proper decontamination methods and you can hand auger down shallow, put in a temporary monitoring well. And that's basically, you know, schedule 40 PVC with a little screen in there so the water will come into the well so it can be sampled. But more often than not, you are going to do something with a DPT rig, like you mentioned. That's direct push technology. It's basically using a hydraulic hammer to push some rods down into the soil. Always want to, you know, clear your utilities, get as much information as possible, because we don't want to create another problem while we're out there. And then you use that or hollow stem auger. And in some cases, especially up close to where our office is here in Birmingham, we may be coring into rock. So we have to use a different drilling technique there to either air hammer, or maybe we want to see the cores. We're looking for little streams, seams in there where the water may flow to. So that, you know, that's pretty much what you do. And then you have to manage that material, especially if it's known to be contaminated. There's proper containment methods, so that material will be disposed of properly. A lot of times, though, we get the results back. The soil is clean, and that's, you know, easier to manage that way. And that's just, you know, the common methods we'll use to do that. And especially when we're going to set temporary or permanent monitoring wells, we're typically going to use something with a little bit larger diameter so we can construct a well properly with the sand pack and the bentonite and the seal on it.
And I tell you, that's spot on. And you hit on a really important topic, which is preparation of advancing borings, whether, as you point out, by hand or using some type of drill rig. You know, health and safety is the utmost important, making sure everyone out there is very safe and there's no injuries or damages. But you also have to think through what's in the subsurface, utility structures, and talk a little bit about you know, if you feel like there's a lot of things in the subsurface we may not necessarily know where they're at, we can use some type of imaging to really understand where utilities could be located.
Yeah, that's accurate. You know, once we've exhausted all discussions with the property owner, you know, obviously you're always calling your lines, and each state has different time periods for you to do that, so they can be marked. You know, we never skip that step. But we'll use different types of techniques, primarily ground penetrating radar, GPR. That works fairly well in most instances, sometimes depending on the type of soil or if there's just a lot of noise. And by noise, you know, it could be the geology itself. It could be a ton of utilities interfering. So we don't know exactly where everything is placed, but we can do take additional steps to give us a higher comfort level that, hey, this is a good spot to start putting this boring in. And even with all these methods, we still will get in a situation where we're close to something that nobody knew that was there, and all the methods that we used did not show it. But that's why we're going to really hand auger or post hole down very slowly. We can use push probes in there. So we're going to always try to clear a minimum of 4 feet for each hole before we really start turning an auger or pushing those probes. And in some instances where we've had plenty of sites where there were known utilities at, you know, 18 feet, 16 feet, you know, we can come out with what you would refer to as a hydrovac and use that to help lift the soil out instead of, you know, only clearing the 4 feet. So we can get up to, you know, 12 to 14 feet with that method. We don't use that a ton, but it's typically around high pressure gas mains or things of that nature that are highly sensitive and maybe we don't know exactly where they are.
And Michael, you've done a great job. You know, we talked about, you know, the different drivers of why you might need to do an assessment, the different tools you might need to do the assessment, some of our, you know, health and safety concerns. Another area I'd like to touch on is as you think about the assessment, you know, and you mentioned this earlier, but I want to amplify a little bit. Depending on the type of constituent that might be in the subsurface that you're looking for, you know, you got to make sure your assessment work really targets how that would behave in the subsurface if it is in fact present.
Yeah, exactly right. And materials, and we'll just talk about in liquid form, they're going to behave differently in the subsurface. So if you, let's just, a gasoline release, that's going to be less dense than water. And typically if the fuel makes it down to the water table, it's going to sit on top or be in the upper 10 to 12 feet. But if you have some more dense materials, and some of those, you know, solvents are an easy example, those guys are heavy. So they're going to keep going deeper. So you do have to consider the vertical depth of impact as well. So a lot of times in the under regulatory programs, they want you to delineate horizontally, so how far out did this spread from the release point, and at depth, so like how deep did this go. So some of our assessments I've been involved with over these many years, it can go multiple property, you know, so you really got to be cognizant of what's out there. And also there are times where we'll run into something that nobody knew was there, you know, and that's part of our field screening process. We pick up something with our instrument, or there's an olfactory detection that, hey, this smells like paint thinner, you know? So you have to be flexible and just on the fly, and then different contaminants can get you into different programs. So you got to have a very good working knowledge of what the regulatory requirements are, and also how the samples need to be collected and what kind of containers they have to go in. So it can get fairly complicated on some of these larger facilities that have had, you know, an unfortunate incident to where they lost a good bit of material.
No doubt about it. Well, Mike, I'll tell you, man, this has certainly been a treat, and this kind of starts this discussion. Hopefully you'll be kind enough to come back on our podcast, and then we can talk about maybe some next steps of, as you're doing the assessment and you are finding something in the subsurface that is above regulatory standards, what do you start doing to kind of, like you said, delineate it horizontally? And if it's, you know, some type of chemical that would be more dense than water, what do you do to pursue that? And then hopefully you'll come back and do a podcast with us on remediation. I know we talked a little bit about that, but that'd be even more exciting. But you were kind to give us your time, and you're a real expert, and I think you set the table very nicely for just some basic principles and understanding of soil and groundwater assessment. Any last thoughts as we wrap up our podcast?
Well, just a little teaser for next time. You just touched on that, but you know, as certain assessments unfold, you can kind of tell based on years of experience where this is going to go. So yeah, we can shift pretty quickly into that. Okay, let's start collecting additional data, because we're going to have to do something beyond just monitor this. So yeah, be happy to come back and talk about that next time we get a chance to talk.
No doubt. This has been tremendous. And to our listening audience out there, if you have any questions, follow-up questions, or like to discuss the topic further with Michael or myself, the fastest way to find us is go to our website, ppmco.com. And on the About Us, you'll find our email address. You can reach out to us directly or to an office and let us know what you're thinking. And we'll be happy to get back in touch with you. And we really appreciate you tuning in and hope you enjoyed the podcast. Michael, hoping that your team, which is the University of Alabama, has a fantastic season. I'm sure that your coach Saban has them all ready this year.
I believe he does. He's a pretty consistent guy. So we're looking forward to see what they do this year.
No doubt about it, man. Well, thanks again for your time. And thanks to our audience one more time for tuning in. And this is Todd Perry, and this is PPM Simplifies.
Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.